Good morning again. I'd like to convene this Monday, May 4th, 2020, hearing of the Education Finance Committee to order. Remote hearings are possible thanks to a newly passed Rule 10.01. This rule has been posted online and is linked in our public meeting notice on the House website. All remote hearings will be recorded and live streamed by House Public Information Services. Members have the contents of their virtual packets available to them, and for the public, these materials have been posted online. Members, if you're looking for all of these items in one place, they are attached in the calendar event you have that Ms. Burt sent. To get on the list to be recognized by the chair, members using the Zoom interface have the ability to raise their hand via the app. Ms. Burt will place your name on the list to be recognized. If a member is on their phone and doesn't have access to the raise your hand feature, please email Ms. Burt and she will put your question in the queue. This is the digital equivalent of getting the attention of the chair or CA. An email from your House account with the subject line, please recognize, is all that is required if you're on your phone. The CLA will now take an oral roll call of members. We'll be unmuting members now. Please minimize any background noise. Ms. Sunderland?
Representative Dabney?
Present.
Representative Sandstead?
Present.
Representative Kreisha?
Present.
Representative Bennett?
Present.
Representative Daniels?
Present.
Representative Damuth?
Present.
Representative Detmer?
Present.
Representative Edelson?
Present.
Representative Erickson?
Present.
Representative Hewitt?
Present.
Representative Juergens?
Present.
Representative Katiza Watoon?
Here.
Representative Kanesh Padin?
Here.
Representative Marquardt?
Here.
Representative Murphy?
Here.
Representative Nornes?
Here.
Representative Pryor?
Present.
Representative Richardson?
Present.
Representative Sandell?
Present.
Representative Joachim?
Present.
And a quorum is present.
Thank you very much, Ms. Sunderland. Members, the items in your folders are as follows. Today's meeting agenda. A copy of the DE2 amendment we'll be discussing and voting on today. The House research summary of the DE2. An author's technical amendment for the DE2. This is the A5 amendment, as well as these amendments, the A1, A2, A6, and A8. A document from Ms. Adrians that covers the limited number of change items that relate to the DE2. These items are also posted on the committee webpage in an OCR-compatible format. Members, before you, you have the minutes of the Tuesday, April 23rd, and Thursday, April 30th minutes. Would anyone care to move the Tuesday, April 23rd minutes?
I so move those minutes, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Kunesh-Padin. All those in favor of the Kunesh-Padin motion to approve the April 23rd minutes, if the CA could please unmute the members, yes. All those in favor of approving the Kunesh-Padin motion, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion prevails. Thank you. Members, anyone care to move the Thursday, April 30th minutes?
I'll move those, Mr. Chair, Juergens.
Thank you, Representative Juergens. Any discussion to the Juergens motion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the Juergens motion approving the Thursday, April 30th minutes, please signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion prevails. Thank you, members. Members, before we get started, I want to briefly comment on the structure of this hearing. In a normal year, our schedule would permit us to walk through the bill and take public testimony and then we would hold a separate meeting for the markup. This session, we're combining the walkthrough and the markup into one meeting. As you'll recall, this bill, the DE2, was posted on Friday, allowing members and the public to review it over the weekend. All the provisions in this bill were left intact from when we heard them earlier in committee, and testimony was taken on them then, whether it was during a formal or informational hearing. Are there any questions or comments? Hearing none. Before the official business of this meeting begins and we move the bill before the committee, we will commence with the nonpartisan staff walkthrough of the DE2. Members, I would ask you hold your questions until the walkthrough is completed. Mr. Strom, is that you?
Mr. Chair, yes, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Members, the DE2 amendment is in your packets, as is the bill summary. As Chair Dabney said, many of these provisions have been discussed at length in the recent days in the committee, so I'm going to take a very general and quick go through the bill summary for you. Mr. Chair, members, the first article, the general education article, has three provisions to it. The first of those is the extension of the pregnant and parenting teen transportation, as was discussed when this bill was heard. The provision was ongoing when it passed and applied to all programs that were in existence at that time. And then for new programs to come online, the statute said any new programs could start in July 1st, 2021. This provision, Section 1, pushes that forward by a year so that if there were a new program providing those services, their services would be reimbursable beginning this fall. The existing programs continue unchanged. Section 2 makes the early and middle college program change permanent. That change that was adopted in 2019 was for 2 years only. This provision allows a student who is 21 but not yet 22 years of age to continue with their schoolwork for another year with the state reimbursement following. Section 3 of the bill is the elimination of the extended time revenue set aside within compensatory revenue, and this would be effective beginning July 1st, 2020. Article 2 of the bill is the Education Excellence article. First and third sections of the article create permanent school fund replacement aid for Minnesota's four tribal contract schools. The provision would provide them beginning in fiscal year 21 with the same amount per pupil that the school districts and charter schools receive of currently at $45.04. That has a cost, you can see those costs on Ms. Adrian's spreadsheet, of $33,000 per year beginning in 21. Sections 2, 4, and 5, the other three sections of this section or of this article are the provisions related to the concurrent enrollment program. The concurrent enrollment district aid is being reduced by $625,000, and that same amount is being transferred then and added to the appropriation for the statewide concurrent enrollment teacher training program, which is commonly referred to as the 18 online program. Mr. Chair, members, the next three articles are the same as House File 4415. So we won't walk through those section by section. Those three articles are the same with a technical change or two that were passed out of this committee onto Ways and Means and remain unchanged from those that passed Ways and Means last week. It will be on the floor later today. So Articles 3, 4, and 5 are exactly the same language that you've seen before in House File 4415. Article 6 has a couple of provisions in those. The first are the two individual district fund transfer requests that this district or that this committee received. The first of those from up north in the Marshall County Central School District authorizes them to transfer $45,000 from their ECFE account to their school readiness account. Both of those are reserve accounts in the Community Service Fund. Subdivision 2 of that fund transfer provision authorizes the Ogilvie School District to transfer up to $800,000 from its debt redemption fund to its undesignated general fund without making a levy reduction. Section 2 of the bill is the provision that was heard last week regarding the Duluth School District, authorizes the Duluth District to reduce the amount of levy that it would spend on the long-term facilities maintenance revenue program and instead use that same amount of money for, or a lesser amount. The district's estimate was $48 million of levy reduction to the long-term facilities program and an increase of $31 million in its debt redemption fund to fund other projects instead. This is connected with the district's plan to sell the historic old Central High School building. Section 7 of the, Article 7 of the DE2 amendment corrects the mistakes on oversights from the 2019 Omnibus Education Bill. The first two of those are related to the way we calculate referendum revenue for each district. The third is the mistake of the fiscal years. When we drafted the bill last year, we inadvertently appropriated money from 18 and 19 when we had intended 20 and 21 as the fiscal years for the Grow Your Own program. And then the next three provisions are simply a base adjustment for fiscal year 2024, so 3 years out in the future, comply with the 2018 pension provisions that passed that require the employer share of the contributions to TRA to be slightly larger. And so the way that law worked in 2018 said that that should be built into the base for both school districts and the state agencies for those few employees in the three state agencies that are subject to pension adjustment here. And finally, Mr. Chair, the last article, Article 8, is the forecast adjustment article. This article brings each of the forecast programs into line with the February 2020 forecast of spending for each of those programs. These have a zero cost compared to your base, but the adjustments are actually necessary to make the appropriation changes. So, Mr. Chair, that is the quick summary of the DE2 amendment to House File 4542.
Thank you very much, Mr. Strom. Ms. Adrians, do you want to walk through the tracking sheet?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'd be happy to do so. Members?
Thank you.
Members, if you'll look at your sheet, it should say at the very top, this is a change item only tracking sheet for the DE2 to House File 4542. And on the first line, this is the early and middle college program change that Mr. Strom referenced. This was a program that had been funded from last session, and so this is a continuation of that funding. So that's why it only shows up in the tails. It's $137,000 for fiscal years 22 and 23. On the next lines under education excellence, the achievement and integration aid, this is transferring money from the fiscal year 20 appropriation so that the districts can use it in the following year. And because it is a program that shifted, currently it looks like it's funding in 21 and 22, but that's because of the shift, the 90-10 shift. The line underneath that, this is the funding that's being taken from the concurrent enrollment program, the college and the schools. So the reduction of $625,000 for 21, 22, and 23. And then literacy incentive aid. This is the program that there is a presumed savings because of the change in the way that the formula is being calculated. So their savings in 21 of $92,000. And then in 22 and 23, a savings of $206,000. And then the tribal contract schools, This is the permanent school fund replacement aid. So it's $30,000 in fiscal year 21 and then $33,000 thereafter. The line below that under the teachers heading, this is where that $625,000 is transferred to. So an increase in the concurrent enrollment teacher training program starting in fiscal year 21 and going through the TALES as well. Under early childhood, there is a small savings to the health and developmental screening aid for fiscal year 20. And then, so it's a savings of $10,000 and then a small cost the agency assumes of $1,000 in fiscal year 21. So for the first biennium, there's a savings of $100,000, a small overage in the TALES of $75,000. And that's everything, Mr. Chair.
Are there questions from members for either Mr. Strom or Ms. Adrians? Hearing none. Then, I will now hand the virtual gavel over to Representative Sanstey. Representative Sanstey.
Good morning. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good morning, members. Representative Dabney, would you like to move House File 4542 to be before the committee?
Yes, I would, Madam Chair.
Okay. Representative Dabney moves House File 4542. It is now before the committee. Representative Dabney, would you like to move the DE2 amendment?
Yes, Madam Chair.
And he has moved the DE2 amendment. Do you also have an author's amendment?
Madam Chair, the DE2 is the author's amendment. This amendment strikes the phrase charter school from this section of the bill, which corrects a technical drafting error.
Very good. Any discussion? Let's see.
Oh, Madam Chair, I made an error, if I may.
You may. Go ahead.
We have the DE2 before us.
Correct.
I would like to move the A5 amendment. My apologies.
Thank you very much.
That's the author's amendment.
Okay.
Technical correction.
Thank you. The A5 is the amendment making technical corrections. Chair Dabney has moved the A5 amendment before the committee. Is there any discussion to the A5 amendment? I'm trying to see if there's any hands up. Seeing none and hearing none, the clerk will take the roll.
Representative Dabney.
Aye.
Representative Sandsted.
Aye.
Representative Kreisha.
Aye.
Representative Bennett.
Aye.
Representative Daniels.
Aye.
Representative Damoth.
Aye.
Representative Detmer.
Aye.
Representative Edelson.
Yes.
Representative Erickson.
Aye.
Representative Hewitt.
Aye.
Representative Juergens.
Aye.
Representative Patiza Watoon.
Aye.
Representative Kinesh Padin.
Aye.
Representative Marquardt.
Aye.
Representative Murphy.
Aye.
Representative Nornes.
Aye.
Representative Pryor.
Aye.
Representative Richardson.
Aye.
Representative Sandel.
Aye.
Representative Joachim.
Aye.
The roll call yields 20 ayes and 0 noes.
With 20 ayes and 0 noes, the motion prevails. Representative Dabney, you may now proceed with your introduction to the DE2 as amended by your technical amendment.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Madam Chair, it was such a great start, too. House File 4542 serves as a collection. I'm kind of hesitant to call it an omnibus bill, but a collection of no or little cost education finance provisions. All these bills have been heard in the committee previously. House nonpartisan staff has an excellent brief and did an excellent job, of course, walking through provisions in the DE2 amendment already. This bill responds to the current public health and economic crisis by acknowledging the difficult state revenue situation we are in, recognizing that the impact of these two crises are going to be experienced inequitably across our state, makes small but strategic investments to bolster educational opportunity for all Minnesota public school students, provides districts some much needed flexibility through mandate relief, invests in teachers so that they can open the door to post-secondary opportunity for more students, and assures those hourly school staff who have stepped up so remarkably every day, but most especially during this crisis, so that they know that we have their backs as they serve the state. There are also a small number of local provisions in the bill as well. These include Representative Fabian's bill for a fund transfer for Marshall County Central, Representative Erickson's fund transfer for the Ogilvie schools, and Representative Murphy's historic Old Central High School provision for Duluth. Lastly, the bill includes the critically important forecast article. Taken together, the bill continues this committee's work, building greater equity and opportunity through public education in Minnesota. Madam Chair, that's my introduction to the DE2 amendment.
Thank you very much, Representative Dabney. Are there any questions from members for Representative Dabney regarding the DE2 amendment as amended? I'm scrolling through our members. I do not see any questions at this time. The order, members, the order that we'd like to go through the other amendments before us will be in this order: the A1, the A2, the A6, and the A8. Would the person who offered the A1 amendment please move it and offer an explanation?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Damuth, and I would like to move the A1 amendment.
Very good. Representative Damuth moves the A1 amendment. The clerk will take the roll. Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. Representative Damuth, go ahead at this time and describe your A1 amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This amendment would keep in current law the extended time programming set aside within $500 million per year compensatory revenue program. Compensatory revenue is used to meet the educational needs of underprepared students to learn, and this revenue is generated at each school site based on the number and percentage of students enrolled in the National Free and Reduced Lunch Program. Compensatory revenue program funding is linked to the basic formula aid, and so any increase in the basic aid will trigger an increase in compensatory revenue. And there has been a debate on whether the formula for distributing these funds is fair to all our school districts, especially those in greater Minnesota and the suburbs. There has also been a debate on whether these program funds are improving learning and progress toward meeting academic standards and how these funds are being spent among allowable uses. We have heard bills and testimony on the values and successes of extended time programming. The long-term impacts of distance learning and being unknown for quite some time, it is safe to presume that a focus on extended time programming and additional learning time will be key for some of our students. And the current law requires this specific set aside for extended time programming at a time when our students will likely need it the most. Along with the required set aside, there is also language to improve reporting on compensatory revenue, and we have heard from the OLA and MDE We have heard from the OLA that MDE is working to improve the accountability of these funds. Madam Chair, I ask that we carefully consider repealing so soon a new measure recently put into law. And with that, I withdraw this amendment.
Representative Damuth withdraws the A1 amendment. Next, it looks like we have the A2 amendment. And would the representative authoring this amendment please move it and go ahead and describe?
Madam Chair, this is Representative Erickson, and I move the A2 amendment.
Representative Erickson moves the A2 amendment. Go ahead and describe your amendment.
Members, considering the fact that Ogilvy would like to transfer from their debt redemption fund, I think it's only responsible that we ensure that the Commissioner of Education has certified that the transfer will not increase any state aid obligations, and that if the transfer increases those obligations, the district must pay or may pay, as I've written, that amount to the state and transfer any remaining balance according to the paragraph A. But very notwithstanding.
Very good. Members, are there any questions regarding the A2 amendment? Seeing none, Representative Dabney.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Members, I would urge an aye vote on the A2 amendment. This does seem to be prudent, and I want to thank Representative Erickson for offering it.
Any other comments from members? Seeing none, the clerk will take the roll.
Representative Dabney.
Aye.
Representative Sanson.
Aye.
Representative Kreisha.
Kreisha, aye.
Representative Bennett.
Aye.
Representative Daniels.
Aye.
Representative Damuth.
Aye.
Representative Detmer.
Aye.
Representative Edelson.
Yes.
Representative Erickson.
Aye.
Representative Hewitt.
Aye.
Representative Juergens.
Aye.
Representative Katiza Watoon.
Aye.
Representative Kanesh Padin.
Aye.
Representative Marquardt.
Aye.
Representative Murphy.
Aye.
Representative Nornes.
Aye.
Representative Pryor.
Aye.
Representative Richardson.
Aye.
Representative Sandel.
Aye.
Representative Joachim.
Aye.
The roll call yields 20 ayes and 0 noes.
With 20 ayes and 0 noes, the motion prevails and the A2 is adopted. Up next, we have the A6 amendment. Who would like to offer and move the A6 amendment?
Kreisha moves the A6 amendment.
Representative Kreisha moves the A6 amendment. Representative Kreisha, to your amendment.
Thank you. And members and Chair Dabney, I actually am offering this because you and I had similar ideas in Ways and Means. I think that we should be moving. Well, let me do this. I'm sorry. Mr. Strom, I had actually asked early on, can you explain the amendment first? Because I want to do that. It'll be easier for me to give my explanation.
Mr. Strom, go ahead.
Madam Chair, thanks very much. The A6 amendment has to deal with broadband access to, under the distance learning time period. And essentially, the heart of the amendment is similar. There are parts that are different that I'll mention, but part of the amendment is similar to what was discussed in Ways and Means Committee late last week in an amendment to House File 1507. The amendment is beginning in Subdivision 7, which is on line 2.21 of the A6 amendment, appropriates $15 million from the federal funds that the state is receiving from the Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security Act, which goes by the acronym CARES Act, and takes that $15 million, essentially moves it through deed and into the Commissioner of Education's area for grants to enhance distance learning throughout Minnesota. A few points to make in section in subdivision one, back on the front page of this amendment, the school is defined to include all of Minnesota's schools. It includes a school district, charter school, a cooperative unit serving students, a non-public school, and tribal contract school. Essentially, what the provision does is it creates a list of eligible expenditures. It creates a priority list for the commissioner to examine applications, and then authorizes the Commissioner of Education to make grants with those $15 million to the schools for purposes of broadband connection, for purposes of distance learning needs, for internet access, and for other activities that enhance the connectivity during the distance learning period. So, Madam Chair, that's a very quick overview of the A6 amendment.
Thank you very much, Mr. Strom. Representative Krisha, I'm sorry, any additional comments?
Thank you, Mr. Strom. Thank you, Madam Chair. Way better than I was going to get this morning without my 6 cups of coffee. So I just would offer in this amendment, the idea is to move dollars from the CARES Act through the Department of Education into our schools as quickly as possible with the grants. And one of the things that the Jobs Committee did was they tried to do this and they put it in a Ways and Means bill. I actually think that if we're going to talk about education items, that should be done in the Education Committee. So therefore, I'm offering it here as well. And of course, there's no state budget impact because we're using the federal dollars. Also, we expand it to the BIA schools as well, and just trying to get more reach and trying to get to more of these students and schools that I know are really trying to struggle with the lack of broadband and hotspots in some of their areas. So with that, I would ask the committee to consider the amendment.
Thank you, Representative Krisha. Is there any discussion to the A6 amendment from members? I'm just kind of looking through my member list here to see if I see any hands up. I do not see any comments. Representative Krisha, I actually would like to make a comment here. I do want to say that as a member from a rural district and a district that does, you know, has been lacking broadband and connectivity services for a very long time, I appreciate that you are bringing this forth. However, And I do appreciate that you're trying to move money from the CARES Act, the federal monies, you know, into our system. However, you know, this isn't going just to public schools or the BIE schools. This would apparently also be used for private schools. And our constitutional, you know, obligation is to for a free and public education. And for that reason, I will not be able to support it, but I do genuinely appreciate your efforts. I would hope that as we continue to move forward, that there would be additional support for just building out broadband in general as a utility. So whether it's for education purposes or healthcare purposes or business purposes, all of Minnesota is in a stronger position for that. And it looks like we have another question. Representative Bennett?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. I would just like to speak in favor of this amendment. I think, I believe we all agree that broadband connection is important for our students wherever they live, whether it's rural communities, metro, and so on. I believe that this allows school districts flexibility to provide it in multiple ways, whether they want to, you know, do a hotspot or even when schools resume in-person meetings, they can provide hotspots on buses and so on. So I do believe that this amendment allows for that. I appreciate that it would come out of the federal government CARES Act funding so that we're not increasing spending. In addition, when we talk about the private schools, I mean, we've seen in the past that we have in some areas encouraged funding for the BIA schools, which are private schools. They are not public schools. And therefore, I think to look at things equally, we should allow this funding for both private schools, charter schools, BIA schools, public schools, to just broaden that, the good things that would happen from additional broadband connectivity. So I just like to speak in favor of that. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Bennett. Representative Dabney.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would like to speak in opposition to the A6 amendment. As Representative Kreisha indicated on Friday in the Ways and Means Committee, we passed an amendment and then finally a bill that included $37 million to build out broadband access across the state. It included $15 million for education after the adoption of an amendment that I offered to Representative Eklund's bill. It included $2 million for telehealth, which is critical access point now for people seeking either physical or mental health services, again, across the state, and the remainder for broadband and other internet access activities, with the full spectrum of activities, opportunities present, as Representative Bennett indicated, using school buses as Wi-Fi hotspots and so on. I was disappointed when that bill was passed out of Ways and Means, but on a party line vote without the GOP supporting the expansion of broadband access across the state. It again used federal CARES money, which is the responsible and appropriate approach at this time. I do not believe that expanding our subsidy of private schools is timely at this point, and the diminishment of funding to our public schools, which is our constitutional responsibility, is inappropriate. And for those reasons, I would ask for a no vote on the A6 amendment. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Dabney. Representative Kreisha or anyone else, any closing remarks?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And all of those are good points. I would actually change a little bit of perspective on that, and I would just offer up this amendment. I think we're all trying to get the same goal of expanded broadband. I have been a long proponent of broadband from my earliest days 8 years ago and pushed on broadband when nobody else was pushing, frankly. So I see the need for this. I would just offer the reason this is coming. This is not trying to put anybody in a tough vote. We're all going to vote our conscience on this. Nobody's vote here will reflect how they feel about broadband. However, I want to say, in all of my knowledge and working with broadband, my technical experience, what I'm trying to do is expand broadband out to all the students, as many as we can. This virus has not chosen based on which school you go to. It is just affecting all of us. And the fact of the matter is, many of the non-public schools are in fact tied to the public schools for per pupil aid, meals, whether or not they have access to the building. They're sharing resources. I believe getting to our tribal schools is also very, very important. And in fact, that has been brought up by Representative Kinesh Padin's efforts, which I support, I think is the right thing to do. So I'm not trying to position us into, support or non-support. I'm actually trying to solve this problem. Totally respect for people who are going to go with the amendment. I believe this is the right approach. I believe this will get out there. I understand the opposition. I understand your comments. But again, that's why we're offering this, and that's why I'm bringing this up. And Chair Dabney, I totally respect your comments about ways and means. However, from my perspective, I just didn't think it was being handled well, and I didn't think that it was going to be, there was still too much confusion with how the Department of Education was going to interact with DEET. So I'm just trying to make that clear. Things are moving fast. We're trying to do a lot, and I was trying to bring it back in the purview of the education. So with respect to all the comments, I'm offering this amendment forward.
Thank you, Representative Krisha. It looks like Representative Kunesh-Podein would like an opportunity to comment. Representative Kunesh-Podein.
Good morning. Thank you for allowing me this minute. I just want to address Representative Bennett's comment about the BIE schools being private schools. They are not private schools. Private schools are schools where the schools are funded by private sources and not public dollars. Public schools are funded by public dollars, and the BIE schools, our four in Minnesota, are funded by non-private funds from the federal government as well as our state government. And this is a question that comes up quite often, and I know that Commissioner Conselius in the past has identified them as public schools and therefore eligible for public dollar funds. BIE schools are LEAs, local education agencies. So by federal law, they are recognized as viable school districts and are therefore eligible for public funds, whether it comes from the state or the federal government. And so I just wanted to clear that up and let you know that the BIE schools are not private schools. Anybody can attend those schools. They don't, they might be like a magnet school where they have language immersion or cultural immersion, but they are public schools. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Kunesh-Podein. With that, Representative Krisha renews his motion to move the A6. At this point, the clerk will take the roll.
Representative Dabney.
No.
Representative Sanson.
No.
Representative Krisha.
Krisha votes aye.
Representative Bennett.
Aye.
Representative Daniels.
Daniels votes aye.
Representative Damath.
Damath, aye.
Representative Detmer.
Detmer, aye.
Representative Edelson.
No.
Representative Erickson.
Aye.
Representative Hewitt.
No.
Representative Jergens.
Aye.
Representative Katiza Watun.
No.
Representative Kunesh-Podein.
No.
Representative Marquardt.
No.
Representative Murphy.
No.
Representative Nornes.
Yes.
Representative Pryor.
No.
Representative Richardson.
No.
Representative Sandel.
No.
Representative Joachim.
No.
The roll call vote yields 8 ayes and 12 noes.
With 8 ayes and 12 noes, the motion does not prevail. Up next, we have the A8 amendment. Who would like to move the A8 amendment?
Well, the dog can, or Representative Krisha can, whichever one you'd like.
I apologize. That's my dog. Representative Krisha, go ahead and move your amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And with that, I would also ask that Mr. Shum be called upon to explain it.
Thank you, Representative Krisha. Representative Krisha moves the A8 amendment. Mr. Strom.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The A8 amendment deals with the permanent school fund replacement aid that was created in this bill. In the DE2 amendment, the schools that are eligible for the permanent school fund replacement aid are the Bureau of Indian Education tribal contract schools. This provision in the A8 amendment deletes the provision in the bill and inserts a new provision that expands the permanent school fund replacement aid to include all non-public schools as well as the tribal contract schools. The aid amount remains, the per pupil aid amount, that is, remains the same at the amount that the school districts receive out of the permanent school fund, which is currently the $45.04 per student. But you can see in section 2 of the bill, starting on line 1.16, the appropriations cost grows from about $30,000 to about $2.7 million to cover the roughly 66,000 students that are in the non-public schools in Minnesota. So, Madam Chair, the way the amendment works is it takes the same language that's limited to the BIE schools currently, removes that language from the bill and inserts the language in A8 of Section 1, which is the broader authority by defining a qualifying school as including the non-public schools. Madam Chair, that's a quick summary of the A8 amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Strom. Is there any discussion to the A8 amendment?
Madam Chair, did you want me to further introduce it?
Absolutely. Go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So, again, what we have before us is the issue of non-public and how it's going to be addressed. And this is still an area that's unclear and open for interpretation. Had Mr. Strom draft this very carefully, because it is an important distinction. It's not about just getting to a certain class of schools. Again, this is students. When I was working in the Pierce School District, as well as the Onamia School District, I also was doing services for the Neosho School District in technology and serving them up with network. I understand this issue. I understand the students and families we're trying to reach, and sometimes that are tucked away into crevices that we don't always catch when we just throw out and look at the spectrum of public schools and charter schools, that there is another area that we should be looking at, which is these BIE tribal contract schools. And of course, if we're going to do that, there is the issue of opening it up to what is non-public. And so this, and as I said, Representative Kanesh-Fadin, in all due respect, I am trying to get to these students and support what you're trying to do as well. I also believe it does open up the broader conversation for consistency. That's what this amendment does. And just want to have that conversation, talk about that issue, because I believe if we're worried about bringing all kids together, one Minnesota, all of them, these conversations are important to have. And that's why this amendment is being offered.
Very good. Any discussion to the A8? Representative Kanesh-Fadin.
Thank you once again, and Representative Krisha, I do understand what you are, what your objective is, and we do want to make sure that all of our students have access to technology and access to the broader width of education and knowledge. I myself went to parochial schools my entire life, elementary through college. Sent my kids to parochial schools, but I'm a public educator myself. And I'm also a legislator that feels it's important to uphold the Constitution. And when it comes to education, that's a really tricky one, because we want to make sure that everything happens the way it should be. But our Constitution, in Minnesota state regulations, defines a non-public school as a school, church, or religious organization, or homeschool, where a student fulfills their compulsory education requirements. And our public dollars, our taxes, and our public dollars are marked for public schools. And so while we would love to be able to do that, I feel that your amendment would really come in conflict with the Constitution and the expectations that the public dollars that our folks work so hard for are going to public education. And as I stated in the last conversation, the BIE schools, from what I understand, and I can, you know, go back to federal law and then connect the dots all the way back to them, do qualify as a public school. And therefore, I cannot support this bill, but really understand and appreciate what you are trying to do for your community and all the other communities around Minnesota.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Dabney.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, I would urge a no vote on the A8 amendment. Representative Kunesh-Podein covered it well. Our core responsibility, both constitutionally and morally, is to support and build opportunity for students in the public education sector in Minnesota. The A8 amendment is not fiscally realistic. The state does not have a spare $2.6 million to appropriate at this time. We hear much from the GOP these days about math and how we have to watch state spending and we can't spend as we wished or as we thought we might be able to at the beginning of this session. And yet here we have $2.6 million subsidy going from public sector to private schools. I don't think that is prudent or responsible at this time, and would ask for a no vote on the A8 amendment.
Very good. Representative Erickson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a clarification. We provide public funding to private schools, to BIE schools, so it's considered public funding, even though they are not public schools. They are non-public, but we provide public funding. And I remember Commissioner Caselius constantly reiterating that to me, that we publicly fund these schools because look at what we provide for the private schools through public funding. But I think we have to be careful with our nomenclature. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Erickson. Representative Krisha, any closing remarks?
Yes, and as I said, this is a conversation. And with respect on the funding, the amendment was drafted to reduce the Perpich Center funding because their enrollment has reduced as well. And I think that we're going to have to start to get creative in looking at how we reduce some expenditures to cover other ones. With that, and I appreciate the conversation, I'm not going to belabor this a whole lot more, but I do believe we are all going to have to wrestle with what non-public means in regards to the BIE schools, because I believe all of our intention is to help these students, but as I said before, that is going to open up broader conversations that shouldn't eliminate some students. With that, I will withdraw this amendment and we can go on to the bill.
Representative Krisha withdraws the A8 amendment. Okay, next, I believe, there are no additional amendments to the DE2. So members, we will vote on the DE2 amendment as amended. Now, this is not the final vote on the bill. Representative Dabney, would you like to move the DE2 as amended?
I would, Madam Chair.
Representative Dabney moves the DE2 as amended. And the clerk will take the roll.
Representative Dabney.
Aye.
Representative Sandsted.
Aye.
Representative Krisha.
No.
Representative Bennett.
No.
Representative Daniels.
No.
Representative Damus.
No.
Representative Detmer.
No.
Representative Edelson.
Yes.
Representative Erickson.
No.
Representative Hewitt?
Yes.
Representative Jurgens?
No.
Representative Katiza Watoon?
Aye.
Representative Kanesh Padin?
Yes.
Representative Marquardt?
Aye.
Representative Murphy?
Yes.
Representative Nornes?
No.
Representative Pryor?
Aye.
Representative Richardson?
Aye.
Representative Sandel?
Aye.
Representative Joachim?
Aye.
The roll call vote yields 12 ayes and 8 noes.
With 12 ayes and 8 noes, the motion prevails. Members, right now, House File 4542, as amended, is before us. Is there any further discussion? Representative Dabney, any closing comments?
Madam Chair, thank you very much. And members, thank you for the deliberations today, and thank you for the deliberations this session. It has been a very different session than any of us anticipated when we convened in February. I want to take a moment and thank the nonpartisan staff for their really remarkable efforts this session. Illustrated perhaps best by a time that there was a conference call, including all of the nonpartisan staff, Mr. Strom, Mr. Weeks, Ms. Adrians, and we asked Mr. Strom to do something, and he said, at the office, that would take me about 15 minutes. Can I have 2 hours? Because working from home has presented barriers to their ability to carry out their responsibilities, and yet they have done it consistently, working extraordinary hours and extraordinary times since we went into our hiatus in the middle of March. And I just wanted to lift up the work of our nonpartisan staff and thank them for it. The committee is better off for their extraordinary efforts, and the state is better off for them as well. So thank you to the nonpartisan staff, as well as to the partisan staff on both sides who've supported members. House File 4542 is a prudent, restrained effort to make a few strategic investments as best we can to balance the inequities that have been exposed by this virus and the intertwined economic challenges that are being felt across the state. It responds to the needs of a few local communities that we are able to support at this time, relieves a unnecessary and limiting mandate on our schools so they can better serve their low-income students at a time when more and more families are experiencing economic challenge and unemployment, and provides opportunities for Minnesota to adjust its funding through the forecast article. I would ask for your support for the bill. Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Dabney. Right now, House File 4542, as amended, is before our committee. The pathway for this bill would be to refer to Ways and Means, and the staff would be making any correction or technical corrections as necessary. Is there any further discussion to this bill? Representative Dabney, would you like to make the motion to move House File 4542 as amended to be referred to Ways and Means, and staff will make those corrections, technical corrections?
I do so move, Madam Chair.
Very good. Seeing no additional comments or discussion, the clerk will take the roll.
Representative Dabney.
Aye.
Representative Sandsted?
Aye.
Representative Kreisha?
No.
Representative Bennett?
No.
Representative Daniels?
No.
Representative Damuth?
No.
Representative Detmer?
No.
Representative Edelson?
Yes.
Representative Erickson?
No.
Representative Hewitt?
Aye.
Representative Juergens?
No.
Representative Katiza Watoon?
Aye.
Representative Kanesh Padin?
Aye.
Representative Marcourt?
Aye.
Representative Murphy?
Aye.
Representative Nornes?
No.
Representative Pryor?
Aye.
Representative Richardson?
Aye.
Representative Sandel?
Aye.
Representative Joachim?
Aye.
The roll call vote yields 12 ayes and 8 noes.
With 12 ayes and 8 noes, House File 4542, as amended, is on its way to Ways and Means. At this time, I'm going to hand the virtual gavel back to Representative Dabney. Representative Dabney.
Thank you very much, Representative Sandstead. Members, thank you all for your engagement in today's debate. I do not necessarily anticipate that this will be the last hearing of this committee this year. We may schedule one more hearing. The schedule going forward is going to be fairly packed, looking at a lot of committees trying to use the limited online access time that we have, and floor sessions, of course, picking up as we move into these last few weeks of session. But please keep an eye on your email in case we schedule one more committee hearing. With that, ladies and gentlemen, unless there's any other comments, seeing none, thank you all. We are adjourned.